What the flip is up, dudes? Welcome back to Planet of Mystery for those of you who did come back. So, Riley, where are we traveling to in this episode?
We are traveling to Boquet, Panama in 2014.
What?
Let's get it!
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the Lost Girls of Panama, which this case is super interesting, and I went into a very deep rabbit hole trying to learn and research all about this case.
It was not a pleasant rabbit hole.
No, it's very, very disturbing, actually.
Sounds great.
It's just the topic you need for your morning or evening drive home from work. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a background on the girls, and then we're just going to dive into the case. So the two girls were Chris Kramer, she was 21, and Lizanne Frone, she was 22. They were both from the Netherlands.
Dutch.
Both just graduated from college, and they wanted to explore, and they decided to go to Panama. They wanted to work on their language, you know, their Spanish, and then they also wanted to volunteer at a school. They arrive in Panama on March 15th of 2014. They spend about 2 weeks exploring the region, you know, going through the mountains, the beaches,
just seeing what it has to offer. Beautiful.
It is. Ugh, the pictures were gorgeous. The pictures at the beginning of the trip. We're
gorgeous. Yeah.
So they actually studied at a school that was called Spanish by the River, you know, of course, to improve their language, to meet people. And this is in Boquet, which is where they're staying, you know, with their host family. Once they are actually in Boquet after the first 2 weeks, we are on April 1st. They're at the school and they meet a tour guide who, you know, like offers them a super great deal to take them on this hike that goes up to the Continental Divide. This trail was like 2.6 miles. It took average like 3 to 4 hours, you know, out and back.
Oh my God.
So it wasn't, I don't think that was that bad of it. I mean, we hiked in the Smoky Mountains, the Chimney Top Trail, and it was about the same.
Okay,
was
but it? The only time that I was out hiking for 4 hours is was when Hocking we got Hills. Lost in Hocking Hills.
We got lost. We got there at like 11 and didn't leave till like 4 or 6. Like, we genuinely got lost.
We had to find help.
I started to panic.
Like, it was bad.
Because, like, we were following the map, and I don't know if you've ever been to Hocking Hills. I know you have, but, like, in general. If you follow the map, their map's not that accurate.
They don't add up, let me tell you. From experience, they do not. No. Do not trust Hocking Hills
maps. We were fine. No. We were fine when we did it.
Then they must have been better when you went. Because we went and, like, we followed this trail to this trail, and then this trail to this trail. And I'm like, it's the ending has got to be somewhere.
We found fellow hikers that we followed they were lost too, and we just followed the trail back to each other's cars and then split ways.
Yeah,
they were really nice.
Yeah,
well, I'm glad that you had someone to help.
Bro, I was panicking like crazy. Like, I was feeling claustrophobic and everything.
Anyway, so they, you know, this tour guide is like super experienced. He knows this trail. He even knows the trail that's a little bit past the Continental Divide, which is actually very rough and jagged, and, you know, like, it's not a well-taken path, so it's really, like, you shouldn't do it if you
it's
were not
shady. It's a shady path.
Yes, it was a very shady path.
Don't follow the shady paths.
But they decide to decline this tour guide, and they actually set up to meet him the next day to go tour a ranch or something to that sort.
Like a farm ranch?
I don't know.
No.
To be honest. I didn't think it was that much.
I was just asking.
I'm sorry.
Can we keep that in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so, you know, later in the day, not even really later in the day, like 10 or 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
is when they are at the trailhead, where there's actually a restaurant, and you know this already, a dog goes with them.
Oh, yeah, the host family.
Well, the dog's name is Blue. I thought that was important enough to find out.
It was really pretty. It looked like a husky of some sort.
I didn't actually look at the dog, but I found the dog's name.
I'm pretty sure it was a husky.
Now, you said the host family's dog. However, there's actually a little bit of controversy between this. Some people, some articles said that it was the host family's dog.
Mm-hmm.
But other people said it was the restaurant owner's dog, the restaurant that was at the beginning of the trailhead.
Okay.
No one knows for sure.
It's like, just the dog named Blue.
Yeah, it goes back and forth. I don't know. The dog returns without the girls a couple of hours later. That was kind of like the first question mark. So later that day, the owner of the language school that they were attending noticed that the girls hadn't returned and became very concerned and went to the host family and was like, hey, where are the girls? Where are they at? You know, haven't seen them, haven't heard from them.
Right.
And the host family didn't know where they were either. So apparently the girls didn't tell their host family or anyone in the school really where they were going besides this tour guide.
And how old were they?
21 and 22.
Okay, well, I mean, I get if you're that old, you probably didn't feel like you needed to.
But yeah, you're at a host family.
Yeah, if you're like not at your house, then, or in your area, then you should probably tell somebody.
And that's why the host family wasn't as concerned as the school was. Like, the school was really concerned, but the host family was like, you know, they're young adults.
Yeah.
Boquette has, like, a nightlife, like, scene and thought maybe they changed plans and didn't say anything. Like, then again, they're young adults. They didn't feel like they needed to.
Yeah.
People at the school searched nearby the area. They found nothing. Everyone decided to sleep on it. You know, they're adults.
They'll come home eventually.
So then we moved to April 2nd. The next day, everyone slept on it. Well, they missed the appointment with that tour guide. He goes to the host family and he's asking for them, like, where are they at? Haven't seen them. They missed their appointment. And apparently he even went in their room and, like, searched their room without a police escort.
That's weird.
I feel like that's weird. Like, the host family should be searching, if anything.
Yeah, like, I thought that was a very, like, weird vibe. So, at this point, they notify the authorities. A fellow student calls Lisanne's mom. They find out that neither of the parents had heard from the girls, which was very unusual as they communicated almost daily. You know, you're in
Panama, yeah.
Yeah, like you're in a different country. Of course you want to talk to your parents. So on April 3rd, authorities began the aerial searches of the forest while locals and tour guides do various searches like on the ground. And the searches on the ground are actually being led by the tour guide that they met.
Okay.
And was supposed to take them on the tour that's, you know,
that they went through.
Yeah. These ground searches and aerial searches turn up nothing. There's been no signs of the girls. 3 days go by and we're on April 6th. And CINAPOC, which is like Panama's civil protection agency, begins a search.
About time.
Yeah, exactly. They waited, you know, like 4 days from the time that these girls were reported missing to actually act on them.
Again, I would get it if you're in your hometown.
But, like, these girls are in a completely different world. Like, like Planet Mystery. Okay.
I was thinking of a whole new world.
That's more fitting. But when CINAPOC takes on these searches, they actually asked the locals to step down, which I thought was very odd because I feel like you would want
more
the locals.
Help.
Yeah, more help. These people know this area. A lot of people know this trail and terrain that they were on and went missing from. Why wouldn't you
want the help?
Yeah, take all the help you can get.
Yeah. Especially if they've been gone for as long as they've been.
Because humans are dumb.
Yes. So also April 6th is when both parents fly in to Panama to help with the search. And they actually bring along some Dutch police, including canine units.
Oh.
So more police, but no locals.
Nope, no locals. They searched for 10 days and nothing was found, ever. So, you know, 10 weeks later from when they go missing, we are at June 14th of 2014. This is when the first break happens. This is where Lisanne's blue backpack is turned in by a local. It was found on the riverbank about 12 hours away from the Continental Divide where they were supposed to be hiking to.
Okay, but pause. Why would you turn that in? I would think about it's a
piece of evidence. Yeah. You want to turn that in to
the police? No, well, yeah, it's a piece of evidence, but that could be a crime scene. why move anything?
Well, it was an indigenous woman who lived, like, out in the woods.
I'm pretty sure she was, like, a tribal woman.
Yeah, they're Native Americans that live there.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, I guess she's trying to be helpful, but at the same time, like, I would treat that as a crime scene and not touch anything.
Yeah. I mean, I get where you're coming from, too. Like, yeah, that's the more reasonable thing to do.
Because, like, if you move something...
You gotta imagine, they're in a third world.
Third world, everybody.
Third world. Country. And so they're, you know, laws and stuff, and the way they handle, as you're gonna find out later in this case, the way police handle cases is
they're just a crap. Tad bit different.
The woman who turned it in also said that it was not there the day before. The book bag was dry, and the insides, like, everything inside was, like, packed neatly.
And dry.
Yeah, and dry. So, inside this book bag, they found both of the girls' cell phones, LaSanne's passport, $83, LaSanne's camera, two bras, two pairs of sunglasses, and one bottled water. Now, they did prove through some pictures that they later find that the two bras that were in the backpack were from LaSanne and Chris's.
Wait, why would you have two bras in your backpack?
That's the mysterious thing. And both pairs of the sunglasses that were found in the book bag, the girls are also pictured wearing. So they knew, like, this was LaSanne's, you know, backpack. You know, of course, they found her passport. But those were just some odd things I found
there. Also, the money's still in there.
Yeah, so it's not like they were, like, robbed or anything.
So, yeah, it wasn't, in, like, a, due to being a robbery.
Yes.
It was murder.
Of course, for police, the biggest pieces of evidence that come from this are the girl's phone and LaSanne's camera. So I'm going to start with the phones. This is where it gets a little interesting. The first call made from Chris's iPhone at 4:39 p.m. was 112, which is the Dutch's version of our 911. At 4:51 p.m., LaSanne's Samsung also made a call to the Dutch emergency line. Neither calls went through because, you know, they're poor reception. They're, you know, they're hiking in this dense forest.
Yeah.
So after that, that was on April 1st. So after those two calls, there was no other calls on April 1st. More calls from both of the girls' phone on the 2nd and the 3rd. On April 4th, Chris's phone is powered on twice for signal, but no calls are made. April 5th, LaSanne's phone is turned on to check the signal. This is her last access to it. Her battery dies at this point. Now, Chris's phone is turned on multiple times, but the pin to her iPhone has been entered incorrectly.
That's weird. So it wasn't her, obviously, doing it.
Yeah, so obviously at this point you think it's not her. Well, April 6th, Chris's phone's powered on again. Incorrect pin again. Now, between April 7th and April 10th, 77 attempts are made to check for a signal on Chris's phone.
Wouldn't the phone, like, is it like an iPhone?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it, like, automatically lock yourself out? Like, because, you know, if you try your password.
But you still have to wait that time.
Oh, yeah, that's true. If you wait, it'll
unlock. It'll still unlock, so you can still try it.
Yeah. Because I know, like, with an iPhone, like, if you put it in so many times, it'll, like, lock for 2 minutes. And you have to wait. And then if you put it, keep putting it in.
The time increases.
Yeah. And then, like, eventually it'll send an email to you and stuff like that saying, hey, your phone's locked. But I thought eventually it would, like, completely shut down.
Well, on April 11th, Chris's phone is turned on again to check for the signal. Incorrect pin. At 11:56 a.m., Chris's phone is powered off for the last time. Now, over the course of these days, there was 7 calls for emergency service total. They tried to call the Dutch emergency line and the Panama emergency line. Only one of those calls went through, but it immediately dropped after 1 second due to no service. So, that's all the evidence they found on their phones. So, now I want to talk about the camera.
Oh.
This is where my rabbit hole
things
was
get,
mainly at.
Things get wild.
Get very wild. So, April 1st, on the camera, there's a bunch of pictures of them at the summit, you know, where the divide is. This is about, due to cameras, like, time frame, they said that they reached the summit about 1 p.m. The last picture of Chris is taken on a rock at the stream.
Chris, that's my name. That's all I keep thinking. Every time you said Chris's or Chris, I'm like, hey, I know. That's my name.
When I was doing the research, I kept thinking the same thing, and it made this case even weirder for me.
Oh my god.
Like, how, like, it's your name. And
but
like,
hers
how...
is spelled with a K, though.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow, what a bum. I just have a thing against people who spell their, you know, Chris or Christina or anything like that with a K. Like,
the last photo of Chris is taken on a rock at a stream, which they said was about 1 hour past the summit. So across that trail that wasn't used often, was very jagged, very rough terrain, where they shouldn't have been because mm-hmm. they were not experienced hikers.
Yeah.
Now, in the pictures, they don't seem to be, like, in any distress. Like, everything's fine. They think that maybe the girls thought the trail would circle back around to the city. You know, like, how most yeah. trails do
eventually
around here.
Did yeah. something.
After April 1st, there's not a single photo until April 8th.
Oh.
Lisanne's cameras turned back on between 1 and 4 a.m. on April 8th.
Oh.
There's a picture of, like, some trash, like, maybe toilet paper, candy wrapper on a rock. There's a photo of two red bags, like, tied to a twig. There's even a close-up picture of Chris's hair, which she's a ginger, so you can tell, like, the bright red hair. And there's blood near her temple.
Oh, my God, my mom's a ginger.
Now, it's only a partial piece of the photo that we can see. They've never released the full picture.
Oh.
Due to Chris's family's request.
Yeah, understandable.
So the last picture that's taken during the day on the camera is on April 1st. And you know how images on your camera are numbered like 499, mm-hmm. 500, 501?
Actually, yeah. No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. So their last day pictures were images 507 and 508. Then the first night picture is taken on April 8th. At 1:30 a.m. and it's image 510.
Wait, whoa.
We skipped 509. 509 is missing and has never been recovered. Oh. But it is the in-between picture between their last day picture and the first night picture. Many pictures, you know, during the day and the night were like blurry and out of focus, but they were never deleted. They tried to have experts like recover this photo and it was never recovered. You know, they believe that it was deleted by a computer. I'm not sure how, but it's never been recovered.
That's so weird.
Now, in one of the pictures, you can see a monkey bridge, which is three cables. You have one that you kind of shuffle across your feet, and then two for your hands to hold on to if no one knows what a monkey bridge is. So it was taken from the west bank. They used, you know, this picture and the details to figure out which side of the bank of this river they were on. They were on the west bank. Now, monkey bridges are really dangerous to use. It's the last spot that was taken with the camera that has some kind of identifying thing in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this monkey bridge is about 6 hours away from the Continental Divide, where they originally were heading. And then they decided to cross over, which is why they messed up. Now we're going to jump back into what the police are doing. So authorities start searching the area where they found the backpack. The head investigator actually asked the indigenous people living in the area to search for them, like, instead of actual authorities and police doing this. So all this
So now search, they want the locals.
Yeah, so like all this search is done by like local and indigenous people. They said it was too remote for the police to search. And the indigenous people find Chris's short. Now there's two versions of this. They are either found neatly folded on a rock that was on the east side of the bank, so opposite of the bank they were on. Now locals say that they found the shorts in the water. The police report is the one that says that it was found neatly folded on the rock. But the locals who actually recovered this said it was found in the water.
I would trust the locals because they were looking and not the police.
Yes. Now they keep searching and they find human remains.
Oh no. Graphic content.
Yes. Now we're hitting some of the trigger disturbing. Warning. So this is June 19th. So this is 5 days after the book bag was found. The tour guide that they were supposed to meet alongside, you know, some of these indigenous people were the ones that found the pelvic bone, a hiking boot with a sock in it, and the foot still in it.
Ah!
What?
And it was found behind a tree up on the bank.
A foot?
A boot, the hiking boot, with the foot still in it.
So, like, they cut off her ankle part, or below the ankle, yeah, with the boot on, and then just left it there.
Yeah.
And I can't explain the pelvic bone.
Yeah, so the pelvic bone was Chris's, and the foot was Lisanne's.
Oh, my God.
They, you know, did this through testing. The search, you know, continues. They find one of Chris's boots. They find more human remains scattered along the riverbank. In total, they covered 33 bone fragments, all to be confirmed of the girls.
So they were, like, dismembered.
Now, here's the crazy part, though. Like, 28 of those were, like, the bones in the foot that was found for Lisanne.
Wait, what?
Yes. So they find, 28 of those bones was from that foot that was found in the shoe. So, like, it was kind of protected. So aside from that, they really didn't find that much more after that. I know they found, you know, like, obviously her pelvic bone. I think they found her 10th rib.
Oh.
And some other little bone fragments, but they really didn't find much after finding the boot.
So, where's the rest of them?
Exactly. The rest of the remains have never been found. This is all of the remains that they have ever found.
A foot.
Was the foot and the few other little bones, like
bones
the rib.
Bones and pieces.
Yeah.
Now, were they, like, decayed?
Yeah, so actually, yes. The bodies were found at a higher, or I shouldn't say the bodies, the bones were found at a higher elevation, which means it was colder, which should have meant slower decomposition. But when they find these bones, they find them, like, bare.
Oh.
That's weird.
Yes. The foot that they found, you know, Lisanne's foot, that was more consistent with the timeline of their disappearance. Like, that was decomposed, like, in the stages it should have been, you know, per their disappearance. But actually, Chris's pelvic bone looked like it was sun bleached. Which, that wouldn't have happened in such a long time. They still should have found it, you know, graphic with some flesh on it.
Yeah.
In January of 2015, a Dutch team returns to Panama. They bring in examiners and different experts. They try to hike the same path as the girls to kind of, like, maybe find more things.
Follow their steps. Yeah. And backtrack a little.
They were unable to do it due to weather conditions. Panama police come to kind of the open shut conclusion that there was a hiking accident and they were, you know, they fell into the river. They were dragged by the river. That's why, you know, the bones and book bag was found, you know, so far out. Yeah. And the dismembering of the bones was because of scavenger animals.
Okay.
Experts didn't support this. They were like, the evidence does not match this.
Yeah.
People came to the conclusion that Panama police didn't do a thorough investigation because they were scared that it would affect the tourism in the city.
Probably.
Okay, and just to give you a little bit of a background about how big, like, tourism is in Panama, on average, 1.5 million tourists show up in Panama a year.
Oh, wow.
And on average, they spend $335 to $385 a day per person.
Oh my, what?
Yeah.
I don't spend that much on myself.
Yeah, well, that's how big, like, tourism. So that's why a lot of people were, like, speculating that they were trying to basically, like, cover this up like an accident because they didn't want to scare off tourism. And another interesting fact is that there's actually over 24 murders and disappearances in the same region where the girls went missing.
I wonder if someone lives, like, up there.
Like a serial killer?
Yeah. Like, if they live up there or something, you know what I mean?
Well, there's, like, the indigenous
people. If it's been
people
in the same area. Well, I mean, yeah, but, like, in that exact same area.
So their case is actually listed as a homicide by Siriki. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's another, like, law enforcement agency. They came out and said that the case could open at any time that a piece of evidence appears or anything that points to any kind of suspect. Now I want to talk about how the Panama police, like, botched this whole investigation.
They did. They botched it even more?
Yeah, it's worse. So there was no chain of custody for the remains. Like, there was no, like, who's in charge of the remains kind of thing. It just went to multiple people. And they were not very good at making sure that there was no, like, cross-contamination.
Oh, my God.
Well, of course.
So much that when, by the time all this evidence gets to the Dutch, they examine it, and they found 33 separate fingerprints on Lisanne's backpack.
That Panama police did not...
No
or find.
And this goes back to when I said they should have, like, savaged that crime scene.
Yeah. Well, the Panama police never kept record of fingerprints. So by time, you know, all those fingerprints, you know, are on the backpack and it gets to the Dutch experts, they can't determine which ones are from the police and which ones might be actual evidence, because the Panama police never kept any print records.
Not even theirs.
Nope. Not on the backpack, not on anything found that was the girls.
They're horrible.
They also never did a grid search when they started to find the remains. So, you know, like, in most cases when you find, like, pieces of remains, you do a grid search.
Yeah.
To try to find... They never did anything like that. They just found what they found. That was it. Like, that was it.
Oh my God, I found a pelvic bone. Oh, Bodegas!
Yeah, literally. That's literally what they did. But also the most, like, shocking part to me... Like, not even shocking, just, like... I can't believe this. Almost everything that was found, every piece of evidence that was found by the indigenous people that live in that region and not by the authorities. With the backpack, the shorts, the remains.
Which goes back to the locals being the ones.
They basically were the police for this.
Yeah.
They have no idea when or where the accident occurred. They don't really know how. You know, they found very little of their remains. And, you know, they talked about, you know, Panama police came to the conclusion there was a hiking accident. You know, they were swept away by the river, and then the remains were scattered by, like, scavenger animals.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is no predator, like crocodiles or anything, that lives in that area that is capable of crushing bones.
So where's how's the creature main? Make it possible?
Yeah, so, like, where's the rest of the remains? Whatever. There's also a big... note from a lot of the Dutch experts that there's zero signs of marks on the bones from animals, scrapes from being like river rocks, since they supposedly were swept away by the river.
And you would think there would be, because if I mean the current, you're gonna get smashed into rocks, or yeah. An animal's gonna have like claw marks or teeth marks. It's not gonna be clean cut.
Yeah, zero marks on any of the bones.
That's weird.
And a forensic anthropologist actually compared the bleaching on Chris's pelvic bone to be similar to like lime or other chemicals that are used to like decompose a body faster, which was actually often used by the Mexican cartel. Like their hitmen would, you know, like, you know, cover these body in lime and other chemicals to decompose it so fast that like there's no evidence.
Right. So did they start thinking?
That's what some people suspect, that maybe this was, like, something to do with the cartel. There's not a whole lot of evidence besides that that really supports that, though, for me.
Yeah. Okay. I don't understand. I wouldn't.
I mean, it makes sense, like, how they decompose so fast.
But, I mean, that could also be used by someone else who knows that same information.
Yeah. I don't think it was the Mexican cartel.
Like, it just takes a couple chemicals to decompose a body.
Yeah. Like, truthfully. This same forensic anthropologist said that he refuses to say that this was an accident because science does not support that.
It does not add up as an accident.
And you know what's even crazier? The Panama police still refuse to release the autopsies.
Of course.
To even the Dutch.
Because they're shady.
Yes.
I feel like maybe they had something to do with this.
Shady mofos.
I mean...
The way, like, they didn't, like, savage the crime scene. They didn't let the locals in at first. They found what they found and called it a day.
Yeah, they just really botched it.
Like, they just didn't take care of business. And it makes me feel like maybe they had something to do with it.
Well, that's why a lot of people think that they, you know, kind of covered it up. Because they were scared that it would affect the tourism. Because that's such a big thing for this, you know, country.
If someone finds out that someone was, like, murdered there, a lot of the tourists wouldn't
like
go.
Like, Dominican Republic.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, what happened in DR when all those people were, like, getting murdered in that hotel.
Oh, yeah.
No one wanted to visit there, but it's like,
I mean, I know people that canceled their vacations they already had planned there because of it.
Yeah.
So, like, I could see that. I mean, that's a very, like, reasonable thing if you ask me. And the other strange part for me is that, like, none of their clothing was really recovered besides Chris's shorts, the two bras that were in the backpack.
Which is so weird.
And the boot with the foot in it, Lisanne's boot, and one of Chris's boots.
So, again, where's the rest?
Where's everything else? And, like, her shorts were found really far from where the remains were found. So, like, how did they get up there? And according to police, they were folded neatly on a rock.
But according to locals,
they were in the river, which makes more sense. But, like, still, they were super far from where her remains were. I just think that was really, really weird.
That's weird.
And the other strange part for me is that the girls' boots were found in, like, a really good condition. Like, they look new in the pictures. And we can post the pictures of the boots so that you guys can see them, too. But the terrain's very rough and jagged. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, you're going to have marks or something on your boots from a rough trail like that. And they look, like, brand new.
So, like, were they carried?
I don't know. I mean, the one boot was found with Lisanne's foot inside of it. And even that boot didn't look in terrible condition.
Yeah.
There's also no bite marks on the boots or anything.
Which crosses off a stupid animal doing it.
Now we get to our two theories of how what happened. So theory one is this was a complete accident. There's no foul play.
Denied.
I don't think so.
I don't believe this. People say that the hiking accident.
A foot in a boot. A foot in a
boot.
That's
not an accident, in my opinion.
Unless she, like, cut off her own foot.
But, like, the weirdest thing about this case is, like, as I'm talking about this, some parts of this will fit this theory. But then when I talk about the second theory of foul play, some parts fit it, but some parts don't fit it. Like, this case really doesn't fit both. Or, well, doesn't, I shouldn't say fit both. Doesn't really fit one over the other. Like,
okay.
It's possible that it could have been a combination of things, if you ask me.
Mm.
So, a lot of people suspect that there was a hiking accident around the Monkey Bridge, because, you know, that was the Three Cable Bridge. It's super dangerous. However, for me, like, the picture of Chris's hair, her hair's dry in that, so I don't see, like,
falling in.
Yeah, like, falling in. It's possible that they waited near that bridge for help, thinking someone else may cross the bridge or find them in that area. That's where I think maybe the picture with the candy wrappers are.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the locals said that rock is distinctively right next to that Monkey Bridge.
Okay.
So they placed the girls at the Monkey Bridge at some point. Now, they explain the camera being used from, like, 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. on April 8th as her, Lisanne, or Chris using the light from the camera, like the flash.
Okay.
To look at the trail.
Yeah.
Although many people think that because of the, like, incorrect pin tries on Chris's phone, that by April 6th, Chris may have either died or became severely injured or delusional, you know, from dehydration, they're starving.
And Lisanne tried to get into her phone.
Yes, and maybe Lisanne tried to get into her phone. A lot of people think that Lisanne was the one, you know, using the camera as the light for the path, like, I have to get help. You know, imagine, you know, you're out in this remote area, your best friend's been gravely injured and...
or dead.
Yeah, and like, you need to find help. So she's using this camera to light the bridge. Or not light the bridge, but light the path, you know, see where she's at, see where she can get. You know, and that comes back to, like, people think they fell in maybe crossing the bridge.
And I guess that would kind of make sense with if, like, one thing was found farther... than the other.
Like, maybe the river, was at play in this. Because, you know, how far things were found. The river could have dragged some of the things. But, like, the bones and the boot with the foot still in it was found up behind a tree.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
So that doesn't really make sense to me. Some people think that in that picture where Chris is, you know, her hair and the blood on the temple.
Mm.
Some people think that it's possible that Chris was dead in this picture. That's why some people speculate that the family doesn't want the full picture released. I don't know how I really feel about that picture. That's just one of the theories. Now, the second theory, which I think is a little bit more believable, is foul play. The tour guide did it.
Yes.
I think the tour guide did it.
I agree.
The tour guide that they met, you know, at the school, you know, who suggested this trail that they end up taking, you know, even though they declined him taking them, you know, set up a meeting for the next day for a different tour.
He still knows the trail.
He still knows the trail. He knew where they were. I mean, even the host family wasn't sure where they went. But this guy did. He knew.
And he went to their houses and searched their rooms.
Yes.
Yeah. He was the first person to search. And like I said, he was the only one who really knew where they might have been.
And didn't he lead the search?
He did. He led the search, but he took them towards it. He's the one that, like, found the spot where the remains were. When he was searching with the locals,
mm-hmm.
he's the one that led that where the remains were found.
He's weird.
He knew where the remains were? He's just weird.
He's just really suspicious.
He is a suspicious person.
Because he also could have known, like, oh, you know, this is a big tourist spot. The cops aren't going to do anything about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's mixed feelings about this tour guide, too. Some of the articles I read, some of the locals said that he was super kind. He's the best tour guide. You know, yada yada. Like, really, like, hyping this man up. Now, other people, some of the tourists, said that he would only work with females.
Ew.
A tourist who had him as a guide actually went on the record and said that he made advances towards her, and when she declined, like, these advances, like, nah, I ain't in that,
mm-hmm.
he, like, picked her up to see how much she weighed.
What?
How strange is that?
Okay, first of all,
that's really weird.
Why?
Because he's going to throw you over. That's
just why.
Just why? Like, that was so weird to me.
Are you too heavy for me to throw over a monkey bridge? Or are you the perfect size for me to throw over a monkey bridge?
Yeah, I thought that was super strange. But multiple people said that, you know, he was sexually harassing female clients. So, like, the tour bases. Oh, there was at least two different tour places that refused to work with him as a tour guide because he was known to sexually harass their female client.
A nasty, shady boy.
So, I wonder if they looked into him before they went with him.
So, they did. Police did question him. Never was charged with anything, obviously.
Of course.
He blamed Cineproc for not doing their job, the police. He was like, you didn't do your job. If you would have started searching earlier or done this and this and this, we could have found these girls alive.
Okay, so but that's also true, too.
It is. See what I mean? Like, some of the theory fits and some of it doesn't on both occasions. Like, there's also the really thing that kind of gets me with him is he has an isolated ranch in that area, and it was actually only a few miles away from where the girls' remains were found.
See, now he's weird again.
I told you, someone that lives up there in that area.
Who knows the area.
I don't know.
He could have just accused the cops of not doing their job. I mean, that's true, but, like, he could have just said that because he knew that's what, not what they wanted to hear, but what would make him not look
make
like
him not look suspicious.
Yeah.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
This is my last page of notes, by the way.
Okay, we're at 20 minutes.
Okay. I was going to say something else, but I forgot. Not my last try. So, I don't know. I think it's very strange because, like, he looks very suspicious, but, like, some parts of it don't fit.
Yeah.
Just, like, the first theory, it was just an accident. Like, some of it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But not all of it. I think that it's possible it could have been a combination of both. Like, maybe one of them did get injured at some point, and there was an accident. Maybe then at that point he went out to, you know, hike the trail since he knew it so well.
And found them
and then did possibly murdered them.
Shady business.
Yeah. I think it really could have been either or mixture. Like, I don't know. I feel most like the tour guide is involved.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely.
So we're going to open up another poll on our Facebook where you can vote if you think that this was a complete accident or if you think this was a tour guide.
The shady man.
Or you can comment if you think it was a combination of both. Or if you even have your own theories, we'd love to hear them. We are also going to post some of the pictures that we talked about. The picture of Chris's hair. Some of the other pictures.
The boot.
Yeah, I'll find some pictures of the boot that's not as graphic.
Catch it on our Facebook and Instagram. A Planet of Mystery!